for you. I'll dip into it, okay? This is our Hadron on Tarubas today. So we're, with God's help, I hope you have the new, the next volume. We're jumping right into, we're jumping right into the Chavos Das and the Prima Gadim and the Crazy Placing on Sunday. So we'll be right in there. We're going to see the Kusha Sa'olam, the very famous, the Veltz Kasha. We're going to see. Okay, so the very well-known Veltz Kasha. So we'll continue. Yeah, I'm sure they have it in the Swarm Sale. By the way, I had someone in my home last night, I had the privilege to hold in my hand the Ksav Yad of the Gra. Something he actually wrote on. It's unbelievable to me. It really takes your... I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the actual Gra. I'm not talking about, like, Gary R. Adlerstein or something. I'm talking about the actual Gra.
And
it was a manuscript of Rishami. With his handwriting, yeah. Actually quite thrilling. And it's going to be here. It's going to visit the Yeshiva University Museum. Yeah, so we'll be at the Yeshiva University Museum. it was ransomed out of the Vatican by some Jews.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know what you have to do. I mean, years ago I wanted a manuscript. I was trying to get hold of a manuscript of a Shmot Rabbah, and it really kills you that this particular manuscript has all kinds of notations on it of who it belonged to. You know, people would write at the end of the manuscript, they would write down, you know, who it belonged to, who it was transmitted to, and all this. And in the end, where did they get hold of it? The Vatican confiscated it in the 13th century, and now Jews have to, like, pay to see their own stuff. You know, it's like, they have the greatest trove still of Hebrew manuscripts in the world.
Yeah, but it's been told me that having the Rambam in Kelpa's Kedushin make the statement that Kedusha Kesef is only the Rabbanon. There's a lot of people on that. So he told me that he was in the Vatican, he saw the original Sefer of the Rambam where it says it's all right.
Okay.
I've never seen anything
before. Black just saw it. Somebody told me the name of the Black also.
Yeah, I heard that.
It could very well be. I have a book I'm supposed to... I'm in the process of writing some reviews. I'm writing a review for Ora Mizrach of Henkin's new volume.
Oh, by the Corps of Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah. it will be treated unpolemically with respect.
I guarantee that.
But I can tell you, no, my review won't be. My review of him will be treated that way. But I have to say, have you read his stuff? He's very unusual as a post. I mean, he's very idiosyncratic. Das Yochid and how to explain the things that he factors and way he explains certain sugyas and whatever. But I had to remember the pledge that I made to Rabbis Adler and Helfgott, who are the editors, not to be dismissive when the first tshuva is that he has counseled people to say Shalom Asani Isha in an undertone. I found that.
Bunch of
Oh, so I won't bother reviewing it then.
No.
Okay. It's already in English. So
quality loss.
And I'm going to review Rabbi Riskin's book.
Quality loss.
Yeah. Which it's a strange book. It's, but anyway, what they told me is don't use like other reviewers have used. Use the book as a jumping off place to write about your own views. You know, so I won't do that. But I'm going to have to contrast things that Rav Henkin wrote with some things that more widely read Sofoskin have written in terms of method and whatever. Okay. Anyway, let's continue today as we reach the Hadron on Tarubos, at least for the stopping point of until we come back and do some Sveika. Let's continue our discussion in the Klalei Tarubos, which arise from the sugya of Bitul Yavesh B'Yavesh in Siman Kuf Tes, which affords us the opportunity to do a Me'ein Chazara the Halachas of Tarubos. Okay? The Rishonim conclude from the fact that the Gemara asks, remember last time we did the Rashba versus the Rush, are we behind on the posting of the Shirim? Is like Sunday's not up there though, right? Sunday's up, but is that 30? Was Sunday 30? Okay. What? Well, okay. Okay. All right. I don't know. there are 30 up there, and that includes the one on the Tzom Gedalia, and that includes the Bar Metzias. So that means that there are 28 Taruvos, including Sunday? Okay. Okay. I thought I listened to the last one, and I thought it was off the date, but okay. I thought the last one was not Sunday, but was the previous Wednesday. Possible. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara conclude from the fact that the Gemara asked the question, V'liptul beruba, that where there's no other special factor, like chaticha ruya liskabeba, or beria, that yavesh, the yavesh is batel berov, and not just mina Torah, elagamid rabbanan. And we therefore have to understand then, why Chazal weren't machmirim in yavesh b'yavesh to require shishin. And to flesh out this question, let's remember that in lach b'lach, min b'mino, Chazal were machmirim and matzrichim shishin, even though it's impossible to perceive the tama de isura because it's min b'mino. And this is because we said Gazru Atu Mim B'Sheino Mino. Now what does this actually mean? Mas also Maris, they say Gazru Atu Mim B'Sheino Mino. In order that we not err and say that Lach B'Lach Mim B'Sheino Mino is Mutter and Batel Barov, and therefore be over Chas V'Sholom on an Isura Dioraisa, namely Tam Ki Ikar, Gazru V'Asu Siag in Min B'Mino. And it's to remind us, to protect us from an Aveira on an Isur Dioraisa. So, right? So that's what it means, Gazru Atu Min B'Sheino Mino in Lach B'Lach. So Min B'Mino, Lach B'Lach, requires shishim. Why didn't they also make a shishim for yavesh for yavesh? Remember, we concluded there, this is liptul beruba. We said, oh, it's barrier, chaticha barrier iskabeba. Said, if it's not barrier, chaticha barrier iskabeba, then it's mutter lagamrei. Remember, the Rishonim were medayik there. So therefore, we need to explain why there's no gezeira atu min b'sheino mino. And on the basis of what we just said, we can understand why, in fact, they Chazal were in Gozrin on Yavesh B'Yavesh Min B'Mino. Even if you would come to cook them afterwards, it's impossible to come Lavo Lidei Isur D'Oraisa. Why? Because what happens with Bishul? Bishul transfers or shifts Yavesh B'Yavesh into a lach b'lach situation. If you think about it, that's in effect what Bishul is. It makes it into a lach b'lach. Since there's no inyan of tam nirgash in min b'mino, then there's no iser Torah afilu b'kahai gavne, even if you would come to cook them together. And therefore, the Rishonim wrote, in particular the Rosh and the Ran, that the shear of shishin is a shear only for bitul ta'am. For Chazal estimated, they were Misharim, that Ad Shishim, Tama the Isur is Nirgash. Since there's no inyan of Tam Nirgash, Shishim lo nichnas l'diyun. There's no inyan of Shishim by Yavesh b'Yavesh Min B'Mino. That's the explanation of the Rosh and the Ran as to why it's exceptional. Now pay attention that the entire din then of Yavesh b'Yavesh that it's batel barov is therefore dafke b'min b'mino. And if you'll look in the tour, you'll see that the Rosh and the Ran require shishin for min b'sheino mino yavesh b'yavesh. Remember that distinction. And the reason? Shema yavashlin. She might come to cook them. In Min B'Mino, there's no Gezeira Shema Yavashlin, because you won't come Lidei Yisur D'Oraisa. So if you would cook them, there's no Tam Nirgash. Okay? Now why? If you'll cook them, you can come to an Isur D'Oraisa of Nisinas Tam Isur Beheter. And therefore, this is only Midrabanan, Deminato Rebatel Chad Betray Afilu Mim Sheino Mino. Okay, make sense? I'm just trying to give the Kavim here and fit it all together. Now, one Talmud wrote me and asked, Gam Bimin Bimino, you can come Lidei Tam Ki Ikar. Dehainu, if you'll cook them together, it's Yitachain that the Isur will give the Tam in the Mayim that you're cooking it in, or in the other ingredients. So therefore, to answer that question, we have to go back to Siman Sadi Ches Seif Beis. If we could just flip back there for a minute. I'm using this as an opportunity to remind you some major inyanim that'll help you. If you go back to Sadi Ches Seif Beis, you remember that the Shulchan Aruch there is trying to establish what's the Araisa, what's the Rabbanit. And it says if it was Nishpach Be'inyan She'en Yachol L'Sha'er, if there was Shishim but there was Rov, and we said if it's only if it was Shishim, it's only the Rabbanin, and it's Batel B'Rov Bina Torah, then it's Mutter, right? Im Nisare B'mino U'V'Sheino Mino. Remember this? It got mixed in both. V'Nishpach Be'inyan She'en Yacholin Lamod Alav L'Sharo. But with no dashaya rubo heter mimino rowin asheno mino ki ilu eino vashar mino rave alavu mivatlo. Remember that? And we saw it in the Gemara Salek esmino ki ilu eino, because it was right. And sheno mino rave alavu mivatlo. Now, as you no doubt remember, the klal of Salek was only said in the Gemara to the man damar min bimino lo batel. Do you remember that? Okay? It was the Rashba who said we could apply it even in the other direction. The Gemara said, if you had the following, this is important inyan, so I want to remind you of it, and then we'll situate it in the Yavish B'Yavish. The Gemara said that if you had mean, mino, and sheino mino, according to the one who holds mean, bimino, lo batel. And why would he hold mean, bimino, batel? What's the svara? Because it's not batel. The mino keeps it, is mechazek, right? It keeps it going. It makes sure that it won't be batel. If you have enough eino mino to cancel out the Isur, it's Mivatel that, and don't worry about the Mino. Remember, that's the principle of Saleh. That's what he said. The Rashba came along and said, I can apply the Klal in the other direction too. We hold Mim Bimino's Batel Baro. Mim Sheino Mino requires Shishim Minatora, right? Because of Tom. If I have Mim, Mino, and Sheino Mino, if there's a mino of rove, I can say it batel, and saleh gets msheino mino kiloe no. Umino ravel lavu mivatlo, right? That's the principle as we apply it. We take the Gemara's principle and we apply it in another direction. And you may remember that the Shach says, how can you do that? Do you remember that, Kasha the Shach? Shach says, how is it possible that I can apply roin es Eino mino ki ilu eino. In the end, the mean b'sheino mino still gives off tam. I can ignore the mino because it doesn't give off tam. Right? How can you apply this, the Shach says? How can you salekis mino in your consideration b'sheino mino raval lav umivat lo? This question of the Shach leads him, therefore, to conclude that we cannot use the principle of Salek except Lahatir Esmino. Dehainu, if you had, I had Chatichos Ksheros and one Chaticha Asura, Betela Barov, if it's not Beria or Ruya Liska Beba, I can consider that it's Batel because they know me no Ravel Lavu Mevatlo. Now, if you look there, the Prima Gunim, the Sif Seidas, is Mechadesh that that this is Ein Kan Kusha. What comes out of this whole discussion is that there's no chashash of an Iser Torah im yavo levashlam yachad b'mayim b'min b'mino when you have the din of Saleh. The Prima Gadim says you can't apply the din of Saleh. And therefore, since the water is a no mino, right? Okay? What can we do here? We can say Saleh es a no mino ki ilu a no umino rava alav umivatlo. Okay? So that's the reason that we never apply that chashash of Shema Yavo Levashlam. Okay? Okay? Now pay attention, if you will, that the Shach wrote that the Yavesh Yavesh Mim Sheino Mio we require Shishin. And the Shach wrote that this is only applies to an Iser Dioraisa, where they gozrim al Iser Torah, Shema Yavashlam v'yavoli deitam ki'ikar. And therefore, you should note that this distinction is only in Yavesh b'Yavesh. In Lach b'Lach, Min b'Mino, where gozrin gam b'Iser d'Rabbonin. That makes sense? When it's Lach b'Lach, Min b'Mino, even if the Isur is only d'Rabbonin, we require Shishi. In Yavesh b'Yavesh, Mim b'Sheino Mino, the require Shishim only applies to an Iser D'Oraisa. Now, in Lach B'Lach, Mim b'Mino of an Iser D'Rabbanan, why isn't this Gzeira L'Gzeira? Let's take a minute. If you're just like listening to me and letting the words filter through your pen but not through your head, let's stop and concentrate a little bit, okay? We just said, in Lach B'Lach, Min B'Mino, even if I have an Iser D'Rabbanan, where Gozrin require Shishim, also for an Iser D'Rabbanan. Why isn't this a Gzeira L'Gzeira? What? Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. In Lach B'Lach B'Mino, Chazal requires Shishin, lest you come to make the mistake that Gam Lach B'Lach, here's what it is. Lach B'Lach Min B'Mino, right? So I have no Tam Kikar, but it's an Iser D'Rabbanan. So why don't we consider that a Gzeira L'Gzeira? Gozer Shema, you'll come to take Lach B'Lach Iser D'Oraisa Min B'Sheino Mino. It's two steps away. It's Iser D'Oraisa and it's Min B'Sheino Mino. So why don't we consider that a Gzeira L'Gzeira? Why do we hold in Min B'Mino Lach B'Lach that you require Shishim, even though there's no inyan of Tam Ki Ikar? Everybody with me? Right? Why do we require that? Why isn't that considered a Zeru L'Zeru? Whereas in Yavesh B'Yavesh we say, Yavesh B'Yavesh requires Shishin for only where it's an Iser D'Oraisa. So why do we not make that step in the normative regular case of Lach B'Lach? And I'll remind you, and you can look it up. Even if I have an Iser D'Rabbanan, if I'm Matir an Iser D'Rabbanan through a robe and not require Shishin, I could come, therefore, to be Matir all Lach B'Lach, even Lach B'Lach Eino Mino B'Rove, whether it's an Iser D'Rabbanan or an Iser D'Oraisa. The Prima Gudin, the Sif Seidas, gives this explanation. This is what he explains, that it's really Chad Gezerah. The Gezerah is anything that might lead to treating Lach B'Lach Mim She'no Mino as a rove. Okay? One other Indian I want to remind you of. Yeah. Okay. If I permitted, if we permitted, it's me, nobody will listen to me, but if Yidden permitted, Lach B'Lach B'Mino, Chazal require Shishin. So you shouldn't come to make a mistake that Lach B'Lach Mim She'no Mino is Mutter, right? Barov. And we said that applies also if the Iser is only Iser D'Rabbanan. Because if you'll allow any Lach B'Lach, you'll Matir at Barov, you could come to be Matir another Lach B'Lach Barov. Right. And that's the explanation of the Sif Seidas. Is it a de facto explanation? Abyssal. Right? Okay, but, you know, what can we do? We also saw one other important inyan before I get into Kama Inyunim Lahalacha from these Dinim of Yavesh B'Yavesh. Where we discussed Yavesh B'Yavesh in one other context that I want to remind you of. In Hilchos Taruvos. Do you remember in Siman Kuf Beis Se'if Dalet in the Haggah, the Ramah discussed whether or not Chametz the Pesach is a Davar Sheyeshlo Matiri? Anybody remember that? You remember that there's that Indian, right? Okay. And what was the Machlokas? If I recall, it's the Mordechai versus Rashi and the Rambam, right? The Mordecha says that since it's going to, after a Yud Beis Chodesh, it's going to be Usser again, we don't consider it Lao Mikre Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Is that right, guys? I think that's the Mordecha, right? Says that we don't consider it Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Because the phrase, he doesn't say this, but I'll explain it, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin means Matirin Bichlau, Muchlat, absolutely. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, that it's Mutter. Since it doesn't become fully mutter, it only becomes contingently mutter, it's not considered a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And Rashi and the Rambam disagree with him. And we mentioned at that time the shita of the Shach, the Laman Damar, the Mordechai. The Lao Mikre Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Chametz B'Pesach would be Batel Yavesh B'Yavesh Chad B'Trei. Do you remember that? That was the Nafka Mina. The Ayin Sham Ba'Arucha. It's in the Shach in Kuf Beis. It's an Inyan related to Yavesh B'Yavesh. If you're not going to remember it, just put a little note in your Shulchan Aruch, that if you're ever looking, because you're answering a little question, there's a question about Yavesh B'Yavesh, the Ayin, the Shach, in Kuf Beis. Okay? Now, Kama Iyunim Lahalacha. Chad betray. I'm going to word this in my own way. Is Chad betray a principle of number or mispar or of shiur? What do I mean by that? Does Chad betray the number of objects or the amount of isur qua heter? Okay, and it happens to be Machlokas Poskim, which I want to call to you. Nobody ever mentions this, but we should mention it. Okay? Is it enough that there just be two objects of heter and one object of isur? You could relate this, by the way, to our iyun into the deos of the Rush versus the Rashba, if you wanted, whether it's a probability or, you know, hanhug or whatever. But anyway, here's let's take the following case. I got three meatballs. One's big and two are smaller. There's still more a rove of heter. It's got to be at least a rove of heter. Is the big meatball fatel because it's chad betray in number? Or do I require that the amount of heter be two times the amount of isur? The language could go either way, could it not? Okay. Let's think for a minute, by the way, back to the Chakira, in the difference between the Rosh and then the Rashba straw man version, remember? Before we got to the end of the conclusion of the Rashba, right? What do you think?
But this is what we were talking about last week. You have one big one and one smaller.
Okay, but let's say I have three now. And this is even more complex. I have three, but I don't have double the shi'ur of the isur. I only have double the number of the isur. So I have three meatballs. One is a 1 ounce meatball. I have two that are 5/8 of an ounce. So I got chad betray in number, and I have a rove, right? Because I got 2 times 5/8, or 10/8, or 5/4, which is certainly 5/4 plus a half, right? Certainly a rove of heter. So is it enough that chad betray, or do I require that the two meatballs together in volume be double the size of the greater one? Okay. Anybody know how we hold the halacha? So this has been established. If you'd like to see it, it's in Shara Taruvos of the Prima Gadim. We paskin like the Shara Taruvos. So if you go to the Shara Taruvos, Chelik Aleph, Perak Aleph, which is all about Yavesh B'Yavesh, you'll discover the Hafi Natinan Lehilchuzah. If it's an Isur Torah, Yavesh B'Yavesh, we require that there be double the amount of heter, double the amount of Isur in the heter. In volume. If it's an Isur Durabonin, it's enough that there's just slightly more heter than Isur, as long as they're two versus one, the Mispar. And this psak is Alpi the Prima Gadim there in the Shara Tarugas. Yes? No, Durabanan I need less. In both cases, we still have Chad betray meatballs. We still got three meatballs, right? One of Isur and two of Heter. In the Isur Dioraisa, I need to make sure that there's twice as much, not only in number, but in volume. You always have to have number, because it's not chad betray otherwise. But in Isur Drabanan, all I require is, if there are two, that they be slightly more in volume. Okay, those are the two sides of the Machlokas Poskim. And that's the way the Prima Gadim leaves the answer. By the way, that is a popular question on Rabbanut's exam. It's a popular question. Okay? Whether or not I was asked it orally a couple of times. Is Chad Betray shiur or is it amount, volume, or is it number? Okay? And in the end we wind up asking that it's either depending upon the source of the Yisur. Okay? It's a little point to remember for halacha. Okay? Now,
what about volume versus weight?
Okay. Well, mass would be a better word. Mass would be a better word. Yeah, I mean, if one's dense and the other are not, then that would be, you know, you had a puff pastry, you know, or something. Yes, yes. I'm assuming similar density of the meatballs. Okay?
Weight.
It could be weight. Yes, could be weight. Right. I'm assuming similar density. Okay? Questions? I'm assuming because it's yavesh b'yavesh, min b'mino, they're the same density. Okay? Maybe they're not. Maybe one was compressed, one wasn't. Okay? Now, how about in a no-mino? Let's say we had three different kinds of meat. And we know that one of them, but we don't know which one, was shechted shaloki hilchasa. Well, be an example. We discovered after the fact that the sakim was pugel, and we don't know which. In such a case, we require shishim. Now, here's another popular error in yavish b'yavish. Iser shenisare barov heter min b'mino. So remember the shach said, the Ramah said, yesh machmirim lahashlich echad, whether you can eat all three. Remember, so the Ramah said, yesh machmirim lahashlich echad. If you hold that way, okay, fine. However, if you want to cook them, you require shishim. Even to the manda amar, the ain sarich lahakmir lahashlich. Okay? Might make sense, because I could come lidei, right? A tam ki ikar, right? Okay? But, here's a popular question and error. Can I add to the pot extra water to make sure that there's shishim? Is that mevatlin iser lahatfila? Well, the answer is why not? You forget, but you saw it, right? It's an important point. Because me'ikar adin, chad betray batel, and these are mutter. And when would the Easter come about, Dan? When you cook them and you get nesinas tam, right? Therefore, this is not called ein mevatlin Easter la'tchila, because they're not lav mikre Easter. They're not called Easter. Okay? Where will you find this? You'll find this in the Taz and the Shach in Siman Kuftes. Yes. Sorry, say again. I'm sorry. Yeah, but except for one thing. Except for one thing, Ellie. That's in the mean bimino, because not tam nirgash. But mistama, to cook it, you have to put something else in there. water, and the water is nichnas to the into the chatika, right? So we're worried about the sinas tam in the water or in other ingredients or whatever you use to cook it in. Okay? Yes? Right. Okay, he did say that. He would disagree. Right. Okay. Right. No, no, you're absolutely right. We read that in the Rush. Right. We read that in the Rush. Right. Yeah. Right. That you have to eat them sequentially. Okay? But even then, none of them is actually Easter. Meikar Din. Yet. And therefore, there's no inyan of Mevatlin Easter Lakvila. In that we require Shishim. Okay? And even to the one who says that we require, we just turned into a lach b'lach, and there, even in min b'mino, where gozerin atu min sheino mino. Okay? According to the Rush's words, we wouldn't have any chashash, you're correct. Okay? All right? So that's just some of the side iunim in Kuf Tes. I can't really milk very much more out of Kuf Tes. It's not a major inyan, but it gave us an opportunity to be go back on some of the principles. Now, let's talk about the easiest way to review this. Okay, I would like you to remember we went over the Makor Hadin for almost every major halacha in Shir generally. So if you listen to Shirim or you took notes from Shirim, then you'll have there the Makor Hadin. Of course, if you went through the Beis Yosef, the Iyun, then you know the tour in the Beis Yosef, then you know whatever I mentioned. You know as well as I do. That's where I got my material from, obviously, right? Okay? So you know the source from whence everything comes. The most important thing to chazer, however, is the tour, is the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and the Shach and the Taz. That's the most important thing to know as the source of you use your background from the tour, the Beis Yosef, and the Shirim to understand, to draw principles in order to understand the dinim and to be able to organize them in your mind. But the important thing is to understand the halacha, okay, and the force of the halacha. Now, I have, there are two ways that you can, do this. If you've been reviewing up to now, right, and you've done, you've been through everything and you think you know it pretty much, then you can arrange a time to meet me, and you bring your Shulchan Aruch with you, and you can have the Shulchan Aruch and your notes open. And I will ask you questions. You can glance down. It'd be impossible for you to read them. I'll ask you questions. You can glance down, and we'll be mefalpel in the halachas and determine that you have yadayim or raglayim, etc. If you're somebody who doesn't want to have to deal with that, and you prefer instead to write up a set of questions, then I will give you a set of questions, but I'm going to ask you orally every one of those questions then. Okay? So you'll know exactly what I'm going to ask you. But it's a tremendous amount of work. You have a choice as to what I ask you if you do it the first way. Not because I'm trying to encourage you for less work for me, but it's less work for you too. Right? It doesn't require you to write it. And I don't require writing from people. I had people from the Kola last year, for instance, who were preparing all along and doing a really, really good job. And I felt guilty in the end. They gave me these elaborate write-ups, and they knew it already. So there was no point in forcing anybody to write it who's already been through it and can pretty much explain to me and knows where everything's found. And what I'll basically do is I'll ask you, Din, and you'll know exactly where it is. You can open up right to the Shulchan Aruch and say over to me what it is. You can glance down and look at it, et cetera, and explain it to me. And I'll ask you a few questions. And if you don't remember a shach, then I'll say, take a look at that shach. What does the shach say? And you'll look at it quickly. You say, oh, yeah, yeah, now I remember. And then you'll say to me. Okay? So that's a painless way. But if you haven't been preparing up to now and going through everything, you won't want to do that. You might want to use writing up of questions as more of a chance of chazara for you. So either way, it's up to you. You just let me know, and you don't have to tell me now. You just let me know how you want to do it. Okay? I would, if it were me, I could see the benefits of either method. Some people like to wind up with a really, really good set of notes. So they rather have questions and answers, and they like to write them up and then chazer them and whatever. And I can tell you it's a lot, you know, it's a bit of work. Okay, but if you've been doing this in Seder with the Chavrusa and you feel comfortable doing it, I would say to you, why have that work? In the end, they don't really require foot. In the end, they require having a written exam in the office. They don't really require that. As long as they have a written grade from me, they don't require it, you know? So I put in a table with your grade and all that, and it doesn't matter. And there were people that had beautiful grades in Yerida last year that didn't submit, in the end, written exams. Because I finally woke up to the point that... and these are people that took it this year. Up until we started, I was going to force everybody to write an exam. And then I saw that, for instance, when I think it was like Matisse Wine or somebody like that, I sat with him. I felt guilty that he'd been through the stuff, he really knew it. I felt guilty that I made him be Mevatel Torah to sit and write hours worth of answers. Unless you want to. Now, there are other people, like Sam Strauss and David Shabtai, wrote me publishable books, you know, and they used it to their great advantage. In order to use it as chazara, and I use their test to test people, you know, because they wrote up such, you know, to people referred now to the Strauss Codex on Yerideya, because he wrote me 42 pages. David Shabtai wrote me 100 and something pages or something, not in a big font with not double spaced. I mean, you know. Typed me out like incredible amounts of material. He did it because David Shabtai wants to know everything, you know, and he wants to be posting. He did a great job. Sam Strauss did it because he's an organized, that's the way he wanted to do it. But Matisse Weiner sat and did just as well. Yossi Levine never wrote me anything, sat and did just as well. And I'm not going to require him in the end to write anything. So it's up to you. I had, up until we came in here, I had the commitment that I was going to make everybody write it. And then I realized, it's idiotic. I wasn't thinking. It's stupid on my part. I shouldn't want to. Why force you to write it if you don't need to? So, for instance, I know that, I'll say, for example, I would imagine that David and Dan, who've been putting a lot of time in, you'll opt for the first way, right? There's no point in you writing anything. You can, you know, okay? I know you've been through it. I know Brian, on the other hand, likes to organize notes, and I know he prefers doing it the other way. And either way is legitimate, okay? I would think, Jeff and Ami, you can make up your mind, but I would think you'd probably rather do the first way. And I think you probably could, because you've been through it. At the pace that you were doing it, the Chavrusa, I think you can. It's up to you. Okay? All right? However you want to do it, you make an appointment with me. And it may be like with Ariel will tell you that he wrote it up, and then I gave him an oral exam, and then he came back, and there were a couple of things that I didn't think he completely mastered. I said, go back and go over Afshalosel Pelosser. He did the difference between Hadan. He came back and whatever. We talked about it. And then he was done. But, you know, the worst that could happen is I could say to you, I think you ought to look at Kufhei again. That's the worst that could happen. Okay? And then you'll look at it and we'll meet again and whatever. And then you're done with Tarugos. So that's what I would strongly, you know, suggest to you. Now, the Basar Bechol of Shearing, I'm not redoing from scratch. I'm just editing the ones I gave last year. Because the ones I gave last year were pretty good, I thought. So I'm just adding to them and refining them. I'm not redoing them from scratch the way I did it this year. Consequently, I can now give you exactly what we're going to do in each time and what you should look at. And I can already have you, if somebody would like to this time, write up questions as you go along and have it easier on yourself, you can do that too. Okay? Since my shearing are going to be a lot easier for me because I already have them all done. Okay. Now, I do want to pre-assign a couple of things that I do want you to look at. And those are tshuvas on the heart svi on gelatin, Reb Moshe on gelatin, and we're going to look at Isaac Klein's heter for eating cheese, for eating domestic cheeses. And I'm going to, if you can't get them, I can give everybody copies of them, because Ben Skidell made me a kuntress of all the sources, so I have them somewhere. I said, they're inside my Buster B'Cholov volume, so I can give those to you. We're going to be looking at some of the gelatin and cheese issues, but within Buster B'Cholov. Okay. The second thing that I want to do that doesn't relate directly to Buster B'Cholov, but I would like us as a group to critique a couple of the Rav Abadi tshuvas that recently come out that I think are controversial on kashrus. So I'm going to circulate a couple of them, and I think we'll talk about them here. One of them is the notion that you could eat in Subway certain kinds of sandwiches because we know the ingredients.
Wow. So that's, that's not from his tshuva. It's from the
Yes, from the website.
You have tshuvas or you have more substance.
Absolutely. Well, we'll read some of the ones in the book, and we'll look at some of the things that have been issued in his name. Okay? The things in the book are far less controversial.
Right.
But the stuff on the website is pretty controversial and gets a lot of play. Gets a lot of play. So I would like, you're going to be asked by Balabati, for sure, about some of these things. And I'd like to know what our opinion should be, so we're going to look at some of that stuff. And how do I even know about them? I don't look on his website. But Dr. Mark Shapiro keeps sending them to me and asking me my opinion. So, Rabbi, can you eat in the Subway? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you be Tovil in a swimming pool? He keeps on asking me a whole bunch of things. So we're going to we'll look at some of those and see if we can come up with our own opinions. Okay? All right? So on Sunday, we're going to do Pei Zion. I will let, I don't know offhand. Does anybody have Buster B'Cholov here? Okay, I could tell you which we would look at, which Chavos Das. We're going to look at a big Chavos Das on Kushas Olam. We're going to look at a whole bunch of different Terutzim. And we're going to look also in the Crazy of Placey to Pei Zion. And that we actually will read here for sure. Okay? So we actually will read it here, sitting here. So if you have that beautiful volume, you might want to bring it. You might want to bring yours for Pei Zion. I'll tell you which one it is, so you might want to bring your volume. Okay? So here's the... So we're going to start. Does anybody other than you need to get a volume of Buster B'Cholov? Please bring also Colin for this, because we will look into Sugyas. Okay? So please bring Colin also. Okay? Now, the Buster B'Cholov, we're going to do much more Prima Gutti. So if you didn't get a volume in the past, you might want to get the volume in... by the time we finish Buster B'Cholov, I want everybody to feel comfortable reading Prima Gutti. So we're going to get used to his style. We're going to read a lot of Prima Gutti here, actually. So I want everybody to be able to get used to his style. And it's just a question of style once you get it. Okay? All right? Now, if any of you guys, for instance, I know, David, you're interested in tshuvot. If you have any tshuvot that you'd like to bring that you think are interesting, why don't you contribute them, and we'll, the more controversial, the better. Okay? So that's what I really like to do. Buster B'Cholov now, we know enough now, really, to look
maybe,
at. Well, we know, maybe, we know enough. We know enough to discuss, for sure. Okay? Because now we have the basics, and Buster B'Cholov now we can go into the... I was asked about the Badei Shulchan, whether it's a particularly good sefer or whatever. It has a lot of halacha in it. A lot of his svaras of halacha, and you want to look at it as a sefer psak, yes. If you want to look at it for review or whatever, I still prefer by far the Madanei Shulchan.